going to be talking today on the determinants of physical and dating violence victimization among high school adolescents in the United States. So just give me some background, because the definition of physical and dating violence is used differently. I just wanted to mention the definition. Physical and dating violence pertains to physical abuse perpetrated within the context of dating relationship. And I'm going to use PDV from now on as physical dating violence. PDV victimization affects one in every 11 youth in the United States, and it equally proportionately affects males and females. And of the victims, 70% of the females and 52% of the male adolescents reported injuries. So the injury among females is higher, however, the majority really report injury. PDV victimization has been linked to a lot of bad outcomes, including intimate partner violence, HIV, STI, teen pregnancy among female adolescents. However, several studies looked at the situation and wanted to find determinants or predicting factors to prevent the problem of PDV. Nevertheless, most of the factors that looked at really looked at limited data, which includes small data sets, clinical data sets, and also the larger data sets used several different definitions, and because of that, the data that's available is inconsistent. And also some studies have just focused on limited geographic area, making it not so easy to generalize with larger populations. Therefore, additional studies are needed to explore particularly the gender differences, and also to explore the national, using national data sets to look into the determinants of PDV. So our objective was to identify the gender-specific determinants of PDV victimization utilizing a nationally representative sample of high school adolescents. So for this analysis, we used the 2005 Youth Risk Behavioral Surveillance data. And the surveillance data is self-administered data using self-administered interview with 9th to 12th grade students, which is actually administered every 2 years. Not every state provides this data, however, the majority of states have data on YRBSS. The YRBSS data set utilizes a three-stage or a multi-stage cluster sampling methodology, providing nationally representative sample, which includes the state level, the school district level, and the classroom level data. And all of the participants have gone through IRB approval processes to get parental permission and also consent procedures. This is how what the sample looks like. All over the United States, 203 schools were sampled, and of those, 44 schools decided not to participate. However, 159 schools participated, which with a response rate of just looking at the schools, 78% response rate. And when you really look at the number of students participated, from this 203 schools, the number of students that we have using that data is 16,262 students sampled, of which from the 44 schools which decided not to include were 2,309. And then basically we have questionnaires submitted for 13,952 students. And of this, only 36 had non-valid response, and then this is really actually the actual sample size, which is 13,917 valid responses. And the overall response rate, which is calculated really different using different formula, accounting for many other factors, it accounts for 67%, which is really a pretty good response rate. For our outcome data, we utilize PDV victimization as a response to a question of a yes. During the past 12 months, did your boyfriend or girlfriend hit, slap, or physically hurt you on purpose? So this is the outcome data that we used. And also we explored several independent variables or exposure factors, and those factors include sociodemographic data that include race, age, gender, and sexual risk factors such as sexual activity, substance use behaviors such as tobacco use, alcohol use, illicit drug use. And also other forms of violence or victimization, whether they were engaged in physical fight in the past year, and also having had ever had sexual victimization. We also explored suicidality, whether they had suicidal thoughts, and also body image. So identifying these factors was actually done through the literature reviews, looking at several literature reviews that were done in the past using different data sets. And from our findings, the data really didn't show any consistent finding from the previous studies, and that's why we decided to do this study. And we conducted our statistical analysis with our data, which we have a very large sample size, which is 13,808, because we lost few students. They didn't answer the outcome question. And the data was weighted, and we conducted descriptive analysis to look at the prevalence of PDV, and also we conducted crude analysis and also multivariate analysis to examine predictor variables. Three multivariate logistic regression models were generated out of this because our main intention is to look at the predictor variables for the overall youth, and also to have two other predictor variables, one for the male students and one for the female students. And what we were interested in was, will there be any difference in the predictor variables between male and female students? Looking at the general characteristics of our study population, the majority of our population is white. There was no much of difference between male and females, as you see, and 62% were white, about 14% were black, and 9.5% were Hispanics. And the age distribution is pretty much the same between male and female, more around 15, 16, and 17 years of age. And as you see here, we have almost equal proportion of male and female, so really for our prevalence, we really have good numbers for both genders. And here is the distribution of some of the determinants or the factors that we examined, if whether they were currently sexually active. I thought these numbers are so high. Nearly 34% are currently sexually active in this population, 54% overall, but looking at the males, 56% are using tobacco. Alcohol use is 74%. Illicit drug use is about 43%. And 35% engaged overall in physical fights. And mostly men are engaged in physical fights. In sexual victimization, it's more 10.8 among females, but overall 7.4. And 16.8% consider suicidal thoughts, and about 6.5 had poor body image. So this is kind of more of the distribution. However, when you look at the prevalence, really what I want to take to put your attention or to take your attention to is about the gender differences. And although we know that now the prevalence is about the same, most people really perceive, I think it's more of a myth, that the prevalence is more higher among females. However, in terms of PDV in school age population between that age group, it's almost the same. For males, it's 9.0, and for females, 9.27, which is relatively the same. And then I'm just going to go through the crude analysis. And looking at our racial distribution and looking at the different models, race, with the crude analysis, race was a significant predictor, and compared to whites, blacks were 1.5 times more likely to have PDV, and it was consistent to both males and females. And then it looks like, particularly with males, PDV seemed to increase with increasing age. So this is just looking at the crude, but however, when we adjust the data looked a little different. And again, here with the crude analysis, we looked at all the other factors, and as you see here, almost all the factors were pretty much significant. And I'm going to go through the the adjusted analysis. And here is the adjusted, the predictor model that we developed. And when we adjusted for all the confounding factors, some of the factors really fell out. For example, race was no longer significant. Age was no longer significant. Basically, it was confounded by all other factors. So when you look at the overall factors, predictor factors, currently sexually active was a pretty significant predictor, which was 2.49 times. And alcohol use was 1.5 times. Illicit drug use was at 1.5 times. And I think the most important thing here to look at is the difference between males and females. Although currently sexually active, alcohol use, physical fighting, sexual violence, and suicidal thoughts are common predictors for both males and females, illicit drug use was the only one that's predictive for males but not predictive for females, which is about 1.4 times more likely to have PDV among males. On the other hand, although it's not statistically significant but has major contribution in the model, is body image. And that's actually more significant for females but not for males. So this is really some of the most important finding that we found. Predictor variables are not the same. The majority of them really are the same. However, they are not the same. So overall predictors include current sexual activity, alcohol use, illicit drug use, physical fighting, sexual victimization, suicidal thoughts, and poor body image. And the determinants for PDV victimization differ between males and females, as I said earlier. And the most important question is, how is it different from previous studies? It was quite different, especially because definitions were different here also, that could explain the differences. However, our study found illicit drug use was a significant predictor for males. On other studies, they found it for females only. And possible explanation are just the broad definition used and also the self-described weight used to assess body image in our study. But in other studies, what they used was, do you use any weight control methods was kind of what they used. So it was a different definition. So comparing it may not be appropriate. And also possible explanation for really in general the differences is we know that males and females cope differently, so different factors really impact different sexual groups or genders in a different manner. Some of the strengths of the study include that we have YRBS, and since it's done every other year, we can actually look into the trends, and also if there are any improvements or changes, we can actually look at that trend. So using this data is very important. And also, we are able to assess a wide variety of possible predictors, and it could be generalizable to the U.S. population, obviously. And some of the limitations include, which we wish we had in the data set, which we didn't have, was frequency, duration, recentness, and severity of PDV. And PDV perpetration was not assessed. Students engaged in high-risk behaviors may have been absent on the day. That's also another problem. And because the study was done cross-sectionally also, there is no causal association that you can look at because everything was assessed at the same time. And there is no temporal relationship or the time differences. So in conclusion, this study contributed significantly to the body of literature telling us the gender differences, not only in prevalence, but also in predictor variables. So overall, findings provide medical and mental health care providers with the screening criteria they need, which may aid in the different in identification of adolescents with the experience of PDV. And we also recommend that further research should be done, particularly in a longitudinal setting, to really understand fully the magnitude of these predictors and also examine these predictors better. So thank you so much. And I have to say this study was actually done as part of an MPH project for Candace Hamm, and I'm her senior auditor, I'm a senior supervisor, so I have to give her the proper acknowledgement. Thank you.
We have time for one question. Are there any questions?
Oh, the physical. Yeah. All right. Physical dating background.
You said there might have been an undersampling of high-risk individuals because of being abstinent. Is there any data suggesting how great a problem that
is? Given this large data set, it may not affect it really significantly. However, we really have to say something about it. But if you ask me, it shouldn't really be a big deal. However, you know, knowing, especially among people with high risk problems, they tend to stay at home versus at school. So we might have missed them. And then the other thing is they may not participate, because those who participate are more likely to be, you know, the good kids versus not the troubled kids. So that could affect the study definitely from a research perspective, but we don't know the magnitude of impact.